Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Authentic Faith Podcast.
Watch all these podcasts get pulled off the air because we play Spotify.
We're waiting for that drop.
I know. Here goes. You can't listen to this and not vibe.
I definitely could. Different vibe today. I like it.
This is
Bentucky, baby.
This is embarrassing you, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This might be worse than Mariah Carey. Woo! Welcome to the Authentic Faith Podcast.
That might have been the best intro ever. Oh my goodness.
I was playing Simon and Garfunkel this morning and then Bee Gees. So that was fun. That's what I woke up to. Welcome to another episode. I got Pastor Brad Lawson here with me and I'm Mariah McLeod. We have a talk today.
We do.
We have a talk today. Yeah. Talk about addiction. Whoa. My favorite thing is when Brad's preaching and he calls out things from the stage and like says it about like addiction, different addictions, and like not afraid to say it. Because we've all come out of that. A lot of us have come out of addiction. And it's like the power of the testimony, which the last episode we were talking about. But it just feels so free to speak about it because so many shy away from speaking about addiction. They don't want to say pornography addiction. They don't want to say sex addiction. They don't want to say alcohol addiction or, ooh, my food, too much, like your food addiction.
I was actually thinking food addiction this morning, so that's interesting.
Yeah. It's relevant. I feel like people just don't want to talk about it, especially food in the body of Christ, because it's like, that's my area. You don't touch the food.
And like something that I'm addicted to that I'll never give up is caffeine.
See? Let's talk about that one. Ooh.
I don't, you want to break that off me, but life is just better with caffeine. I'm sorry.
Like, my life is way better without. I have to share my testimony really quick. I was at our old building at Encourage. It was named Two Trees then. And I remember I was a coffee addict. And I remember I was trying to get off since like 2014 and I could not kick it. And then finally I was just at the point, you guys know, where you just have a few sips and you're like, I'm fine, I'm good, just a few sips. And I was at our building and we had coffee made all the time on Sundays, and I just had a few sips and I was standing in worship and I remember I couldn't feel my toes and it wasn't Holy Spirit. And it was like my circulation, the coffee, I just was like, I felt like almost like a panic attack coming on. And that only happened when I was drinking coffee. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was like trying to worship, and you already want to explode in worship, right? You're like excited to worship and you're just, sometimes you feel so, and having coffee for me made it horrible. And it was like, this is not good. And I felt like God said, I want you to feel me. I want you to feel the Holy Spirit. I want you to feel my presence and not just the coffee. Mm-hmm. And I remember with my toes numb and my fingers were starting to get numb. And I was like, I feel crazy right now. He's like, this is your last day. And it was my last day with coffee. And I ditched it. And I'm not saying that's for everybody, but that's my testimony. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I have been so good, like emotionally stable. My body has not had circulation problems. Anyway, it was like, I want to feel Holy Spirit more than I want to feel the coffee. Mm-hmm. And the taste of it. I love black coffee. So anyway, that's my addiction. One story. But so he's good. Like, I'm flushing that story.
No, I've tried a few different times to get off it. And just for me personally, it's like, it's become a part of my social life, which is interesting because some people, that's how alcohol becomes a part of their social life. Yeah. And everything else. And it's the, I mean, it's...
That's true.
Everybody has to, I guess, come to terms with certain things.
Yes, your convictions.
We're all like, you know, my convictions are very different than yours. Yours are very different than mine and anyone else. And, you know, but like getting into the more major things, it's like addiction is a real, real monster.
Mm-hmm. Like and I was thinking claws and like.
Yeah. And it, if you're not willing to even address it.
Yeah.
Or acknowledge that it exists within the framework of your life, like you're never going to get free.
Wow.
And the thing is that like, number one, you have to face Goliath, you know, but then after that, like the way I attack this stuff is very different than some other pastors. Like, you know, I don't personally love, you know, a tight or like inward focused accountability circle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't not love it either for some people. You know, this is a very complex issue. Like, so what I say is like, I know men that thrive having those five dudes that like hold each other accountable. How are you living? How's your purity? How's your whatever you're facing or whatever. And like, and that is honestly a really great tool for some guys. For me personally, that wasn't my story and how I got free.
Yeah.
My story is very, very different. And, I think along the way, it's like, I don't remember the day that I was free as much as I just know that I am.
Hmm. It wasn't like a one moment, one thing for you.
Well, I do remember one. I remember maybe more than one, but I remember one breaking moment for me. But, when I came to Jesus, I was an absolute wreck.
Mm-hmm.
It was all self mutilation. It was it was like I was a masochist. I just didn't care. If I died, I wanted to die on my terms. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna take pills.
Mm.
I'm gonna do whatever. I think there was a point, and when I was, and if, is it okay if I just roll into it? Okay,
yeah,
so like
please.
There was a point when I was 16, 17, that coming out of, you know, what I experienced with my parents and everything else. Mm-hmm.
And you can listen to past episodes where we've talked about,
talked some of this, but I had a lot of like post-traumatic stuff from being in those drug environments.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so anti for so long. I hated drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I hated substances. I wanted, when I was in junior high, I used to tell my dad I wanted to be a DEA agent, and he would brag to his friends, my son's going to be a DEA agent. And they go, ha, ha, ha. And like, but it was about like in high school is whenever it really, things started to shift. About my sophomore year, I mean, my dad was smoking meth in front of me. We were drinking together. There was a lot going on, and I never actually smoked meth.
Wow.
I never got into the hard stuff. I was too afraid. So there was this fear of God thing because I saw the trauma on my parents' life. But I will tell you what I did was I started drinking heavily and I started medicating my trauma.
Mm. Especially if you're trying to be with your father.
And so it's heavy.
Yeah.
So like for some of you who don't know, like, both my parents were heavily into drugs, and dad was in prison a large portion of my life. And when he wasn't, house was a wreck. Police were over, like, just chaos, darkness and dark areas. But, about my junior year in high school, my parents both went to jail towards the end of my junior year. And I went to live with my grandparents for a time. And it was at that time when I finally had peace, I realized, oh man, I've got some major issues.
Wow.
Well, no. I went deeper into it on myself. I started to have trouble sleeping because nights weren't safe when I was young. Like, you know, police would come in the middle of the night. Parents would be up all night. I have vivid memories of waking up to my dad dumping furniture on my mom and pulling her by her hair through the hallways and crazy domestic violence stuff. And so like,
I'm trying to numb that stuff.
Yeah.
Probably
and then nights were not safe and darkness was not safe. So like for a long time, like I couldn't fall completely to sleep because you're always afraid of what would happen. I mean, I can't even tell you the amount of times that I'm startled awake because the police are there, because there's a crazy paranoid freak out and we have to grab our stuff and run out of the house because they think a raid's coming or they think something's going to happen. And like nights were not safe for me. And
always anxious.
Yeah. Even like shades being drawn. I had bad trauma there. Like with shades being drawn in rooms. I'd walk into rooms and I'd open all the shades. I didn't want dark rooms. Artificial light, I still kind of struggle with it. Like I have to have open windows and stuff like that. But, and these are real things. But in my junior year of high school, they both went to jail. And I've said another podcast, but my mom is an amazing Christian woman now, walking with Jesus and sober, remarried, owns a home, one of the closest people in my life. And me and my mom are so close. Have not reconciled with my dad yet. I actually haven't talked to him in a long time, but,
time
in junior, anyways, my junior year of high school, went to live with my grandparents, and it was the first time I was able to rest. I mean, I'd been in 12 years of warfare from the time I was 5 years old on, 12 years of never knowing if the PG&E was going to be turned off, 12 years of never knowing if you're going to come home and it was going to be, I could go in the house or not go in the house or like what was going to happen. It was just very, very different. So I started to take sleeping aid stuff. So if it was Diffadrill was one that I would just go get from Rite Aid. I'd go through a bottle like every 2 days, NyQuil, drinking wine from my grandpa's, shelves. I would,
trying to chill out. And
you know, I started smoking weed, started taking pills like muscle relaxers, started drinking heavily. And from like 17 to 23, I don't remember. I mean, very few sober nights.
Wow.
Like, so it was, I was heavily into it. But you know, in that, like, It was not because I loved the substance as much as I just was running from these monsters in my closet.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so I wasn't okay with who I was. I think
a lot of people get to that place where it's just like, I just can't handle life.
Yeah, 100%. Also. And in the moment, I wouldn't have told you that I was addicted. In the moment, I was just doing what I needed to do. And I knew I couldn't sleep without
survival
something.
Survival mode.
You know, and so... it would be rare for me to fall asleep naturally. So I had to take something to go to sleep. And so, that was my one major issue was insomnia when I first got saved. Mm-hmm. And my solution for insomnia was substance.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting was at 23, when I gave my life to Jesus fully, I found rest and the insomnia left, like vanished. Yeah. Like it was raptured out of my life.
So then you're like, were you already letting go of those substances?
I didn't think
about
that.
Or the insomnia left first.
Yeah. I didn't even think about it. So like, you can shut that door. Sorry. The insomnia, it was the major monster that I couldn't deal with because it was the fruit of the trauma and the anxiety and all the stuff that I had, dealt with. Right. So like, when I found Jesus, I remember one of the first times I say found Jesus, like when I had my encounter with Jesus over the course of 6 months, there was one night I went to bed and I had prayed and I had been going to church and I had some words flowing in my life and I was beginning to get hope and I was going, you're really real.
Wow. Yeah.
You're really, really real. And I remember at church, I had raised my hand and I've asked for prayer and it was starting to come together in my life. And like this light was turning on in me and I went to bed one night. And I just fell asleep. And I was going, oh my gosh, I slept like a baby. I slept like 9 hours like a baby. I woke up and I was going, it was a massive moment for me because I thought, I just went to bed with nothing.
Yeah.
I called my grandma, who was like my foremother in the faith, was my grandma. She would pray over me. I said, Nana, I said, I fell asleep. And she goes, Brad, it's because you're at peace.
It's his peace.
Yeah.
It's his presence.
You have peace and you have rest.
Wow.
It didn't all end immediately. I was smoking cigarettes. I had a lot going on. And in the beginning, I had no religion. So understand this, like there was nothing in me that told me that it wasn't okay. Even I just knew that this other substance came into my life that was much stronger and much better and much more. I wanted that, more of that.
Wow.
The other piece of that was love. Mm-hmm. Like I started to feel loved and healed, and I felt like even though my whole family life was wrecked and, you know, I'd seen so much and been exposed to so much, I was going, man, I just feel good. Like, and I just remember praying over and over again, I don't want to lose this. I don't want to lose this. I don't want to lose this. And I would pray. And, yeah, everything.
The fun thing as new believer, you're like, you're not going to lose it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think it's interesting because we think that God's like us. And, yeah. You know, when we meet him, we're like, you could walk away at any minute. Well, because we could walk away at any minute, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and I had this. So, you know, talking the fear addiction, of like addiction is not the problem. It's the root of the identity within a person.
Yes. So good. A lot of people want to like put band-aids and religion and cover it up and like perform and like, I've got this, I handle it, it's in my strength. But it's like, addiction aside, the faith is not about performance and me fighting for it. It's
not
about
even about our sobriety
surrender and let him, he died for it. And so even in addiction, it's like, it's not like on in my power. It's like, come in and invade those deep places and see, yeah, like,
it's very, very tricky territory if you think that you have to white knuckle this thing.
Yeah.
You know, like that's, if you think you have to like,
I hate
hold
that.
Your sobriety with a death grip, it's very, very tricky territory. When I talk to people who are suffering from addiction, because I do think that sometimes there's some genetics within us. I will say this, I'll concede that like some people, I know some families, like where you cannot have a drink, period.
Yeah.
There's some people, and I think that I'm at that place now where I could if I wanted to, and I personally chose because of certain cultural issues around me that you probably won't see me drinking ever. You know, there were times where I did not too long ago, but there's just, I've made a determination within myself that it's probably not good for me in the position I'm in and the influence that I have to do that.
Yeah.
Number one. So it's not because I can't, because I fully believe I can at this stage of my life. It's because I've chose not to. And that may change either. So there may be a day where maybe I want to. I'm just saying right now in this season where I'm at, I have no desire for it. But
I think it's tricky for people that it's like, oh, I'm fine now. Also, so like how to like not going back into that or going like that open door. Oh, I can handle this. And then they just like, not saying that to you. I'm saying like I hear that all the time from people I know, like, oh yeah, it is fine. And then it's just like all these other things open up and it's like.
And I think deep down, here's the thing. I think deep down, like anyone I know that can't do life without a drink or without a substance, deep down is missing something.
Yeah.
And they're covering it. Mm-hmm. They're trying to cover whatever that deficit is in their life. If they can't do life sober, like for me, I don't know. Here's another way to say it for me is like being under the influence of a substance that isn't the Holy Spirit doesn't add value to my life at this point.
I feel that.
You know, like definitely. It just doesn't make things better. I'm like, I'm in the presence of God, experiencing the glory of God. And the other day we had a prayer meeting and I could barely stand at this prayer meeting. And it was like, whew, man, like what is going on here? There's something that's moving in the room and the awareness of Jesus in the room. And I'm going, anyone who could be in those moments and go, you know what I need is a shot of tequila. or you know what I need is like, I need to go like get my microbrew fix, like whatever. And I know that's like taboo here, but anyways, like, but my point is like, that's good in its place. But I'm saying in those moments, like you have to look deep within yourself and you have to go like, I'm content with Jesus and this is much better. Like a day with you is better than a thousand days
elsewhere.
Better
than any wine.
Yeah.
I've definitely, Well, first of all that, like he is better than anything. Like when you're satisfied on him, oh my gosh. So like, am I not satisfied? Like what is drawing me to the other things? Yes. Am I not satisfying myself in him? And you don't even have to be an addict to like question like, well, why? Not to be religious. I'm not even trying to be like rules. I'm just saying, why are you going to that? Like, why do I need that? Like with friends, is it a peer pressure thing? There's so many things you don't. I know we're talking about addiction, but like, you don't have to. I don't know. It's like
a good heart check on something. I would say is, are you depending on it? Does it? So like, I know a lot of people like you have a stressful day. you're like, oh my gosh, kids, this, whatever. All I need is a glass of wine. Like,
yeah,
the days are not going to get easier. I haven't had an easy year since the day I was born. Like, it's all hard. Life is, it's all rough. And the problem is, it's like, yes, you can go there. And like, I have no problem. So hear me, listen, someone on here is like someone listening right now.
This don't mess offensive. With my,
this is offensive. Yeah. This is offensive. And I'm sorry. I just want to say this, that I am not anti-alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-alcohol. I think someone can have a beer. I think someone can have a drink of wine. I think someone can have a glass of champagne to celebrate someone. To me, I'm not anti-alcohol. What I am is pro...
numbing yourself, too. Not numbing yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I'm anti trying to fix it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And then once you're healthy, you can do what you feel led to do as a healthy...
yeah.
whole person, right? Yeah. So like, if that means that, you know, maybe you do a heart check, you say, I'm going to take 30 days and just make sure that this thing doesn't have a hold on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take 30 days. Mm-hmm. If it's like, hey, I'm going to take 2 weeks and boom, or hey, my normal ritual is to go out and consume this certain thing, or maybe take these pills that nobody knows about that I get from a doctor that's like under the table or whatever. Like, you just say, try to take 30 days. Take 30 days to just get your mind right and make sure it's that you engage in a healthy way with yeah. whatever substance it is. And the other part is like, these are the outward things. I think that like, I would rather, I don't have an alcohol issue. So understand that like, this is not like focused in on that. I think there's other addictions that are actually more destructive.
Okay. Yes.
I think there's a sexual addiction.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
That is destroying marriages right now.
Mm-hmm. And single people.
It's men, not just marriages. Men and women.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about it, but there's a rampant pornography culture, especially in California. And there are marriages right mm-hmm. now that their total source of tension is dysfunctional purity. Because you've been exposed to a bunch of stuff and now you want your wife to be your fantasy, or now you want your husband, like 50 Shades of Grey, to be this whatever. And like, the reality is, like, you have a warped view of intimacy.
Say it again.
You have a warped view of intimacy. You know, and like, the good for me, the good like heart check for me,
that's
is like
a whole episode.
It's a whole, yeah, we Ooh. Could probably get into this, but there's a warped yeah. view of intimacy you have where it's like, you really want your wife to fit into this 60-inch box on
delusional.
Your wall.
It's delusional. Or this yeah.
4-8-inch mm-hmm. device, like whatever's on your phone that's drawing your attention. Like, you see that and that's what you want, but you don't realize that when people get off those screens, that it is hell.
Also, that's like, not real. That's not real.
It's not real.
And also, that's selfish. I yes. mean, talk about like, God created sex. I'm not married, but I know this. God created sex to be a beautiful thing, pleasurable, mm-hmm. but it's a surrender. Like, it's not about you.
For sure.
And you know how many, I don't want to talk from a place of hurt, but I know of so many women that have been hurt, like in a relationship, Christian, religious relationship, that are not, they're like a slave, basically. And even sexually.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, because they're, okay, I don't want to get too deep into that.
No, I'll meet you there. So I'll meet you there. I just want to do it the right way.
It's crazy.
Yes,
go for it.
No, say what you'll say.
Well, basically, I'm just saying, like, there are other ways. And when you're stuck in pornography or you're stuck in religion even, you see things totally skewed. Like, it's about me.
Yeah.
Or you're supposed to be doing this for me. And it's like, no way, nowhere in the Bible does it share that. It's all about you, like either person.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it. You can direct this, but I'm a little bit.
No, I know you're fired yeah. on that. And I think for good reason too. I'll just validate and affirm what you're saying, because it's real.
Yeah.
And I think that there's been a lot of abuse and a lot of, when I do marital counseling and premarital and even with single people, like, when you get into a relationship and you don't have your purity intact and you've been exposed, maybe you've been through,
you're talking physical purity or spiritual purity, because there's also redemption and purity. So I'm just curious.
There is. I'm saying, like, you've seen too much, you've been exposed to too much, okay. and your expectations are off. Okay. So like, what happens in a lot of relationships, I'll just say relationships, so it's like married and unmarried, yeah. whoever's out there like trying to help,
single
you.
People are a mess too. Yeah.
So in relationships, sex can become a weapon. And this is the number one thing, because like, I'll just
We have. We can hold it back here.
No, I'm not going to hold back. So here's the thing. It's like, so I'll speak in generalities. So a man who, or I'm going to speak for men. Okay. So this can be women too. I understand this can be women, but you're out and you for 5-7 years being single have been out and you like really haven't had a whole lot of regard for like who I'm sleeping with, what I'm doing, like what I'm watching. Like you've been exposed to a lot of it. Maybe there's, it's like a mix. Like I did, you know, maybe it's a little bit of porn, a little bit of whatever. You've just haven't had a whole lot of like regard for that. Yeah. Right. Like, and even, or maybe no, there's the other one where it's like, I did it, but it's only people that I have strong feelings with. And it's like, that's still another level of like, you know, it's only this, it's gotta be the right person or whatever. And then whatever, then you actually get married. And let's say you don't marry that person, or let's say you marry someone. You're like, whoa, this is a Christian person. Right. Mm-hmm. And this Christian person maybe did not expose themselves to all the same stuff that you did. Mm-hmm. Maybe hasn't been, fully engulfed in the world the way that you were, right? So you get married. Now you got one person fully exposed and their purity just demolished, right?
Which can be restored.
Which can totally be restored. Yes. 100%.
But, yeah. I just want to add that for people that are feeling that.
Yeah. Hopeless. So like yeah. Your purity can be destroyed. And then you meet someone, you're like, this is a chance for me to do it right. Right? So you go to, obviously with Jesus, you're clean. You're good. And like, because the infatuation is there and you're like, I'm going to go after this. And you have faith for a season, right? You go, I'm going to get married. We're going to do this right. You get right.
They're going to save me. People think also sometimes. They're going to fix my problem.
Then you get into your marriage and you realize life is seasonal. Mm. And then the longer you get into it, you know, you have kids, you have challenges, maybe you have some financial stress. Maybe you have some living accommodations that change. Maybe you have a sickness in the family, a disease in the family. Maybe you get, things get tough in marriage, right?
Yeah. Life trials.
Then in the back of your head, you're thinking, wow, if my sexual relationship within a marriage doesn't get better, you know, I've got to fix this somehow. So then you go back to like, I've got desires. I'm not out of my flesh. I got to figure this out. And this is how a lot of Christian men get on porn.
Interesting.
Is because they are used to the dating world where they're like, I can just get what I want when I want and really very little consequence. Then you get into a marriage and you feel trapped because you're going, well, you're not doing what I want you to do. And ooh, I'm not doing what you're, and sex becomes a weapon.
Wow.
Then you don't take into account that like women have different rhythms than men.
Oh yeah.
You don't take into account that like life is seasonal and there may be days where like men are visually stimulated and women really just want acts mm-hmm. of service mm-hmm. and other things. There's yeah. a great book on this called The Love Language.
Yeah.
And I know it's super fundamental for some of you, but the point is like you get deep in this stuff and then you start trying to solve the problem another way. When I counsel couples in relationship, the number one foundational piece to a healthy marriage is friendship outside of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because here's the reality. It's like, my wife is not supposed to fulfill my fantasy. And I have no right. I have no right.
I'm going to keep.
So here, I'm going to take another step. I have.
Let's say that again. No,
my wife is not supposed to fulfill my fantasy. And I have no right to put that pressure on her.
Bam.
But here's what I'll also say.
Preaching.
Women cannot use sex as a weapon because you're actually, what happens is when you withhold yourself from one another and don't serve each other in those ways, what happens is you are leaving a wide open door for the devil in a marriage.
There's a deep conversation. This is a deep
talk. So you talk addiction, there's like a lot pornography addiction or whatever. Like how does it happen? It happens because number one, you're designed to procreate. Like in Genesis, God created you to multiply.
And he created pleasure.
It's not a bad word. It's supposed to be good, right?
It's a good word.
And you're in this body of flesh and you're attracted to things and whatever else. And because I believe the source of sexual addiction, we talked alcohol addiction,
yeah,
talked drug addiction, we talked insomnia. Now we're talking sexual addiction. Like the source of this addiction, the reason why you can't break it, is most likely because you're not actually satisfied in your relationship with Jesus.
Hmm.
I'll speak as a man. I'm speaking all that's in like generality. I'm speaking at generalities right now. Most of the time when I have seen men frustrated. Men are not content in their prayer closet. It's when you're not content and really discerning the season, because it becomes about like feeding our flesh more than it does fulfilling our relationship with Jesus. Like my sense of adventure doesn't come from my wife. She's on the adventure with me is both of us are fulfilled in our relationship with Jesus. Like my sense of adventure comes from my calling. I don't have to go and fulfill this and go, oh, I got it. Like,
yeah,
like whatever else. Like I've got to go find this and get the dopamine rush and whatever. And I've got to fulfill that. Cause that's really what it is. It's the, it's the high you feel. And the reason why this tricks you in a sexual addiction is because you think you're solving the problem with pornography. Do you realize that later in life, like, especially for men, like there's issues like impotency.
Oh yeah.
Loss of testosterone. Yes. Like, yeah, I actually heard somebody the other
day.
And there's a lot of resources for this, and I don't want to. I have a few I can add.
Do you? Because I don't know.
I don't know any.
Oh yeah, I listen to all kinds.
I know they're out there, but there's if you have a pornography addiction, it can actually prevent you from having sex with a real person someday.
Definitely. That's
and
a huge
sometimes
thing.
That doesn't come back.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot be fulfilled any other way.
Interesting.
So you might be trading.
False intimacy.
It's false, but you might actually be exchanging the real thing in the process. And you think you're solving the problem, but all you're doing is later in life making things worse.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's for men and women.
We are so all over the place in this. Like the addiction is like,
I know. Well, it's a big thing. Maybe this is what people need to hear. And also, there's another addiction I guess we can talk about if we have time. But
go into it. Let's just get to the other one. Go.
There's like, I think the false intimacy thing is like, oh, I am feeling like you said, the root of it is like not being satisfied in Jesus and in God. But I don't know. I just feel like sometimes people go to something that they think is going to feel good. It's going to like they just have a wound they're trying to fix with this thing. And it's like in him, in Jesus, that is where you're satisfied. And it's in seeking him and not white knuckling it and like checking off the things. Here's all that I can do. Yep. How am I doing?
Yep.
How many, you know, it's all about him.
Ugh! There's four major sources of conflicts that I see in relationships: communication, finances, and intimacy. We'll go intimacy. There's three.
Say it again.
There's three major sources of conflicts that I see in marriages that I counsel. It's finance, communication, intimacy. I had a fourth. I forgot it. But those are the three that I really do. There's a few others.
And
but
intimacy meaning more than a physical, more than
I'm meaning
sexual.
That there's unhealthy expectations within it, and it becomes a point of tension in a marriage that can actually deteriorate the marriage or the relationship. And that it becomes very, it becomes the devil, you know, has the devil will come and get involved there. One thing to say, it is not okay for a man to demand more, or like maybe I take that back. It's not okay for a man to have unhealthy expectations for his wife. But in closing on the sexual addiction
there's
part,
so much more.
It is not okay also for us to withhold ourselves from one another. It's an act of sacrifice and service no matter what. And the problem comes because here's the reality. If you have to force someone or like pressure someone into having sex with you, and then let's just say
there's
they
other
do
issues
it.
There.
Well, no, let's just, let's
bigger
go down. There is. Yes.
In their
but then
marriage,
let's go. But then if you have to do that in order for it to happen, you're going to be disappointed because it was never meant to be an obligation.
Yes.
It was meant to be something that was flowing from love.
Yes.
And connection.
Yeah.
So you'll be disappointed. Then you'll get done. And the argument will be, well, you weren't into it. Well, it was not the right day.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Then it goes deeper, right?
Yeah.
So this is, I hope this helps somebody out there. And so let us know if this helps you, because we can do another podcast on this.
There's so much on the women's side. I mean, I know I'm speaking from a place of like, people are like, Mariah, you're not married. You don't know. No,
yeah.
You can still know these things. You can still know. And I just, there's so much more on the women's side that maybe on another time we can talk to it, because that would be really healing for people who are in a relationship. Because I know, I feel like the most of the side is not just woman withholding. Like, I feel like that's definitely part, but like a big topic has been the opposite.
I know. Well,
so that's where
I see
I'm
that.
Like, there's so much wound there.
No,
and
so let's just.
But there's healing.
Let's take 4 minutes. Speak into that. There, men. That's why I said it.
Are leaving relationships because of that trauma. Like, I know people in the church too. Like, they're just, I cannot do this anymore.
Yeah,
you
and,
know.
And there is a change happening in our society where men are experiencing more hesitation in that area, and like women, actually, there's an increase in women on pornography right now too.
There, I feel like we just haven't talked about it,
but there
always has been. The biggest thing that bothers me is when they say, "Oh, it's a man problem."
I know.
Churches.
Well, I agree.
I'm like, excuse
I agree
me.
With you. It's not. It's not. Yeah. It goes both ways, and I know it does.
But there's more now.
Because I talk to people, I'll say it's increasing, and I'll say part of the issue is some of the men, and I'm this. Gosh, we can. People are going to have so much to say about this podcast, but I believe a lot of it's linked to like diet and linked to testosterone issues and like the just the destruction of the modern man.
Why
it's flipped the other way and women are having to be fulfilled in other ways. Like, this is interesting. So let me say this.
Okay.
Oh gosh. We might have to retitle this podcast. I don't know. So listen, Elon Musk said, the biggest risk to humanity is depopulation. And it threw me aside when I heard it. I thought, depopulation? I don't understand. And then I hang out with a lot of 30 and 40 year olds who are not having kids anymore. Who are not building a life anymore. And so here's the interesting thing. I'm going to give Shanna credit for this.
I have a comment also about
I'm going to give Shanna the credit for this. So Shanna said the other day, she goes, maybe what's happening is the men are becoming more feminine, thinking that the women want like a softer man or a different version of a man.
Women
have asked for more and are wanting more. So they're being more connected to their feelings and whatever. But the reality is deep down, women want men to be men, I think. And they do want us to listen.
Healthy
they do
men.
Want us to be healthy men.
Yes.
So what's happening is by men choosing to like not show up as men.
Yeah.
They think that they're becoming more of what women want. And then women go date them and realize that's not really what I want.
Yeah.
And then they stay single because there's no real men anymore.
Yeah.
Where did all the real men go? And then guess what happens? They don't have kids. And then guess what happens? Depopulation happens. Guess what happens after that? We abandon cities. And guess what? Elon Musk is right. Possibly. That's all I'm going to say.
I feel like for women. Okay. Yeah. So we just heard a podcast, Clover and I. Clover also comes to Two Trees and works here. And we were listening to a podcast about femininity and masculinity, and like when we are hurt, we wall up and we become more hardened. Women, but everybody, but for me, when I'm really afraid, I wall up. I become so intense. Like, I am not soft. Mm-hmm. I become more into my masculine side. I tap into that side, which we have both. Everyone has both.
Yes.
And so I tap into that, and because it's like a trigger thing. And what the podcast was talking about, which I actually agree with, is like women are meant to be softer. And that's not a weak thing, but we're meant to be softer. And they're meant to be like God created it. They're different, like a provider and like protector and these things. And when it's flipped, it's confusing. And also you attract, like if I'm this kind of like intense, not just intense, it's okay to be intense, but this more masculine side of me, I'm going to attract a more feminine or whatever kind of man.
Yep,
and
yep,
the opposite, yep, like yep. if I'm more soft,
that's
I'll attract the other kind. But then there's also unhealthy, narcissistic people.
We're taking the unhealthy, toxic masculinity out of this.
Yeah.
Toxic masculinity is the thing, and it's horrible. And I don't like it. I'm repelled by it, right? I don't want anything to do with that. My perfect Saturday is shopping with my daughters. But
shopping.
I am fully and completely secure in my identity as a man.
Yeah. The toxic,
you know what I mean?
Masculinity, like, comes out more, I feel like, in conflict, though, is when, like, in conflict and power struggles.
Yes. So, like, the toxic masculinity is like, how do we get in
but
from addiction to here?
I do want
to
talk about, for the women, for at least, I feel like we don't need a man when we are satisfying ourselves, when we are... I got this. It's we tapping into more of our masculine side. And that's why, not for everybody, we're like, I can handle this. I don't need a man. And we are like, just
But you know where the, you know where the end of this road is?
We need each other.
This is super what? Controversial what I'm going to say right now.
So, like everything has been.
Yeah, this whole podcast is controversial. Men, it says in Genesis, part of the curse is that like your desire will be for him, but he will rule over you, right?
Okay.
Think about the transgender movement. That men have actually came and stole what's unique from women. Mm. And what's unique in a woman being a woman, mm-hmm. which makes her beautiful and strong, and the things she can do that we can't do, and the ways that we are actually dependent on women to secure a future because women give birth to humanity. The ways that, you know, this whole thing, and now men have fully taken over, and now men are having birth. You know, and it's like, the things that were sacred and beautiful and amazing and strong and powerful with women, now it's men have actually ruled it, polluted. You know, yeah. And it's, that's the end of that road. Yeah. Here's what I want to say. So I want to get us back on track with addiction. You know, at the end of the day, I'm not here to please anybody. There's a culture that I will offend for sure as a pastor. And
always,
I'm sorry. My point is not to offend, but it's to speak truth, hopefully with love. That's the point, mm-hmm. you know, and the substance of all things hoped for is Jesus.
Yeah.
And am I saying that
everything?
Yeah. So like whatever addiction is, let's say, we're talking pills, we're talking weed,
shopping,
we're talking
addiction,
alcohol, we're talking spending food addiction, we're talking sexual addiction, which we got into relationships, but even relational tension, the presence of Jesus and the person of Jesus being your highest value.
Yeah.
If that's your highest value,
mm-hmm.
You can be free of this stuff and you can find peace. It's not about compatibility in relationships. It's not about whether or not they check all your boxes. That's why I really get a little nervous when someone has this list of what they have to be. And I've heard the miracles. Oh, I found the person that checked all 10 boxes. Well, good for you. Me and Shannon are complete opposites.
Yeah.
You know, like I didn't have any boxes. I listened to the Holy Spirit and I fell in love. So
that's another topic too.
So sometimes you have to move in love is what I'm saying. So like with my addictions personally, because I suffered from addictions, with any struggle I've had relationally, you know, since being a Christian, you know, and since like dedicating my life to God and like giving him my purity and letting him restore what was broken me and the whole thing. I don't remember a day that I stopped anything. I just remember I fell in love with someone stronger.
Interesting. That's good.
And now that person, that love is increasing and growing. And now it's,
I feel like instead of trying to stop, what you're saying yes to, it can be
that's
more important.
That's
say yes
saying.
To it yes. And receiving that is what, like, I don't want those things anymore. And having a good community around you to check in. I mean, because we're talking about the community thing, but I think having accountability is really great, but no one can do the work for you.
Yeah, 100%. That's what I'm saying. So I'm not anti-accountability groups. I'm just
definitely
pro falling in love with the person of Jesus who is much stronger than all addictions.
Deep.
His very first statement in Luke, he said, I'm here to set captives free.
Mm-hmm.
His goal for you is freedom, not captivity. It's never
That's
been.
Good.
So understand if he says it, even if it's difficult, even if coming from me, you know, some of the stuff I said about masculinity or like sexual purity or gender or whatever, understand that if it comes from God and it's truth, it's to set you free. Close us. We're too long.
So there are some, I know, right? That was good. I feel like we sometimes just have to go there, though. That was good. There are some resources I want to share. They are so good. There's Pure Desires Ministry, and they talk so openly about, it's mostly sex addiction. They talk about pornography, betrayal. There's also with them, Pure Desires Ministry, Betrayal and Beyond. And it's like the side of being betrayed as a spouse or like partner. And the one who did the betraying, that's a big word, but it's a really good program. They have really great resources.
I know Triple X Church back in the day used to be good, and they used to have some accountability pieces. And I know Fight the New Drug has resources.
Yes, Fight the New Drug,
pornography. What's the book, Sexual Revolution?
Uh-huh.
By Chris Fallotton.
Yeah, and then there's also Moral Revolution.
Moral Revolution, okay. Moral Revolution. It's not Sexual Revolution.
We can put it in the links.
Moral Revolution is what it is.
There's
a lot of resources here.
Pure Desires Ministry is a podcast you can also listen to, and they have really great episodes. And then there's one more. They're Canadian. They're kind of funky, like fun ladies. But
Don't drop somebody crazy.
No, they're good. They're okay, really good. They're the meat is good. They're just, yeah, they're fun ladies.
Okay.
But Bear Marriage, the Bear Marriage podcast.
Okay,
and cool. I listen to it and I'm not married and it's been so helpful for like my life. And the thing I would say to singles is don't wait till you're married to prepare yourself. Don't wait to prepare your heart, your spirit, your disciplines now. Like if you think your pornography addiction is going to go away when you get married, you are confused. So start it now when you're single and go after purity. And purity also, I just want to say, if you feel like, shoot, I've messed up. I've messed up all the things sexually, or whatever it is, you have not gone too far. The Holy Spirit renews you and can make you pure again. I've heard crazy testimonies that I don't have time to share, but it's not just a physical thing. Purity is a state, like, from the kingdom. Like, you are pure. And so,
There's a Bible verse that says that he who fixes his hope on Jesus purifies himself. You fix your hope on Jesus and your life will be purified. You don't have to focus on purification.
Yeah.
He washes you. Yeah. Last Supper, he sat down and washed the feet.
Woo.
And Peter said, well, if you have to wash me, because he told Peter, he said, unless I wash you, you can't be clean. He said, then wash my whole body.
Yeah.
Wash it all. Like he goes, just cleanse me.
Yeah.
That's the mindset. It's like, Lord, Jesus. I come to you and I lift dirty hands sometimes in worship. I lift a broken soul to you. I lift a broken mind to you. I lift my mistakes to you. And I'm going to say, cleanse me,
make
me new.
Yeah.
And he will do it. And understand this, you're forgiven of every sin you have committed and will commit if you're a Christian.
Yeah, he loves you.
He loves you. There's no condemnation in Christ, zero. And so you're forgiven. And so in the name of Jesus right now, anyone out here who may feel shame or conviction or condemnation over any addiction right now, understand that it's the power of Jesus that sets you free.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has made you free, if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. So today you can start fresh and, there's no shame.
Yeah.
And so Lord, give anyone listening to this, the power to make changes in their life so that they can live in freedom in Jesus' name.
Break every chain. That's what we do in the kingdom. That's what you do, Jesus. Thank you guys for tuning in. Great episode again. We'll be here next time. Ciao.